This week's Parsha, Parshas Veschanan, actually has a lot of mitzvahs in it, so we went for a little questionable mitzvah, shall we say. If you look at early on in the Parsha, it seems that the same mitzvah is repeated twice. It says, Rashi Shomo Choshmar Nafshecha Ma'od, literally, be very careful and watch over your soul very much. You should remember what happened at the Har Sinai, and you should pass it along to your children. So it starts with Yishom Echor Shmar Nafshecha, and it seems to be talking at this point about remembering Har Sinai. Few psukim later, V'nishmartem Mo'od V'nafsho Zechem, again kind of echoes the first one, be very careful in your life. Kilo Isim Kol Tmuna B'yom, B'yom Diber Hashem Alechem B'chorev Mitolcha Eish. Because when you were at Har Sinai, this wasn't the show, you actually saw God there. So don't be doing any idolatry. That's against what we did. So on the one hand, you have these two psukim that seem to be pointing towards nishmartim la'od l'nafsho seichem. Be very careful in guarding your life. However, if you look at it in the bigger picture, it's not really talking about that. When we're talking about guarding your nefesh, it's not your physical life, but it seems to be your spiritual life, right? Don't do avodah zarah because you saw God. That would probably be the posh pshat of the psukim, that this is talking about spiritually, you have to be very careful. However, a famous Gemara in Brachos does not read the psukim that way. A story is told, Tanu Rabbanan, Maisev Chassid Echot, Chayim Mispalo Bederach, there once was a Chassid who was davening on the road, Ba Hegmon Echot, Benasim Lo Sholav Olis Hashem. So a government official said, hi, how are you? Work for security here at University of Cincinnati, and he didn't respond. So Himton lo aji is see him tefiloso. So this hegmon, whatever that's translated as, the security person, wait to the end. Lachashim tefiloso lo reka. So this guy says to him, idiot. Hello, customer so raschem raki shemro choshmar nafshicha. Doesn't it say in your Torah you're supposed to guard your life? So you should be very careful in guarding your life. I said, oh, you didn't respond. If I decide to chop up your head, it would stop me. So let me explain to you. If the king walked in, here you're standing with the king, and your buddy says, hey, what's up? Would you respond? I don't think so. I'm alone? Of course not. What if you did? If the king's talking to you, start schmoozing with another guy? I'm alone. Chop my head off. I'm alone. Isn't this a kal v'chomer? If you were standing before a physical king who today is alive and tomorrow not so much, and even so, you would never talk to someone else while you're talking to him. How much more so? So it worked. So if the simple meaning of this Gemara, what does it mean, the psalm, Nishmartim Ma'od V'Nafsho Tzeichem? He says, how can you not? I could have killed you. Don't you know the thing that says, Nishmartim Ma'od V'Nafsho Tzeichem? So the simple reading of this Gemara is, it means that you have to be very careful with your life. Everybody has a positive commandment that they have to take care of themselves. These psukim are used for other understandings as well. For example, last week, were we to have done any Pirkei Avos, we would have perhaps considered this Mishnah. If someone forgets any of his Torah, he's liable for the death penalty. What's the proof text? Namar, Raki Shomer Lechoshmor Nashacha Ma'od, Pentishka Chesedvarim Asher Oe Necho. It says, be very careful not to forget anything. Those are our psukim. So it's using it from a totally different Isser. It's saying, what's the Isser? The Isser is not to forget anything that you learned. So you might think, better be safe.
Don't learn.
Don't learn. Right. Right. That would seem to be a life-saving procedure, walking out of the shir. So he says, not so bad. So he said, Yacha, feel tough of Mishnaso. So what if I just, over time, over the years, I forget something? Talmud Lomer, Pen Yasur Milvavcha Kol Yimei Chayecha. It's only if you push it out of your heart. Ha'inu Meschai V'nashra Et Sheyeshev Yasir Milibo. If I try to forget. If I have... What?
Don't think about it.
Right. So the reason I raise this, because it's the same pasuk for a different meaning. The Marsha and that Gemara and Brachas is bothered by, where did the Gemara and Brachas get this idea? As you said, if you read Pashat, if you read Tosha B'Ksav, it doesn't seem that the psukim are talking about protecting your life. That pasuk seems to be very much taken out of context. If you look at the Torah Shabbal Peh, so the Mishnah of us has something totally different. So the Mishnayos have one understanding. The Chosh, it seems that this Gemara makes up a whole new meaning. It seems that there is that this is not a source for this at all. So the Marsha asks, Sibis Haraschim, etc. Hakrab is Shikchas Torah Kamari. This idea of Shmartim Lod and Afshay Seichem, that's so that you know how to forget Torah. Kamosha Kasa Pen Tishka Chasa Devarim. As if you keep on reading the Psukim, that's what it says. So the Marsha says, you look at it, you tell me that how Tosha Baal Peh reads it. It reads it that as we're forgetting stuff. V'chein ha'ikar v'nishmartim lo nashachim la'rishlo na'amim b'shum tavnis pesel. And what does the other one mean? The other one means that you shouldn't believe in Avodah Zarah. That's what the Pesukim are saying. It's got nothing to do with guarding your physical health. Right, but Gemara here is talking about physical. He says, how can you not respond to me? Even the Shmart Molech could have chopped your head off. That sounds pretty physical. So, he's bothered by it. He says, Miu B'Sechus Shavuos, we'll get to that in a second. Darish Le Talmudah, Nam Remilsa Achritit. Then the Gemara is going to be a totally different thing. Dehainu Asol Makalas Atzmo. You're not allowed to curse yourself. Same puzzle. So what's the answer? He said, V'chosid hazeh. This chosid, Gam shlo yadah yin yispayis ha'egmo, mikom akom, lo pasak l'hashiv lo sholom, shlo yechoshi shlo sakona, kamo melcha akom. He says, the bottom line is, let's consider this Gemara. So what happens? Guy, chosid on the road, stavning shmona esrei. Guy comes over, and he says, sholom aleichem. And the guy says nothing. So the guy says, how can you do that? He says, v'nishmat lo l'nashar seichem. So who's making the drasha? What? The Hegmon. The Hegmon, the guy. The Hegmon sits there and says, isn't this a violation? So what's the simple understanding? No. The Gemara tells the story that this guy read the pasuk that way. Right? He couldn't read the psukim straight. So okay, he got it wrong. So why didn't the guy turn to him and say, you know, that's not the pasuk? Because he had a better answer. Right, the fact that it's not that I darshan different might not go over well with this Hegmon. So again, he told him a marshal, told him a nice story, that was good. So according to the Marsha, do we paskin that Nishmartim Lo L'Nafsho Seichem means that a person has an obligation to protect his life? No. That's the Shitas HaHegmon. But the Shitas HaHegmon is against the Psukim, it's against the Mishnayis, it's against the Gemaras. So based on that, he says that even though we refer, it's wrong, the Marsha says, you read the Gemara, there's only a Hegmon who said it, and it's against everything else. Now, the Gemara in Shavuos, as we said, as the Marsha quoted, also discusses this pasuk. Very interesting Gemara, short one, HaMakal Atzma V'Chavero. It's an Isser to either curse yourself or curse someone else. Amar Avyanei V'Divrei HaKol. Nobody argues on this. Right, atzmo. I know you can't curse yourself. The ksiv rakishama lachoshmor nafshecha ma'od. It says that our pasuk. There it is again. Kedir Rabbi Avin. So Amar Rabbi Eloi. The Amar Kol Mokum Shnema Yishomer Pen Lal. Eino Ela Losa say. He says, so this is a lav. What does that mean? If a person would go and curse himself, and he got hasra, you shouldn't curse himself, and he does it anyhow, what would the punishment be? What? Malchus. He would get lashes for that. V'chaveiro, how do you know you can't curse your friend? A different one. So the Ritva is a little bothered by this. He says, wait a second. What?
Can you curse your friend?
Yes. So he says, wait a second. There's a general rule. For example, there's a pasuk in the Torah that says, Lo sochel al adam. You can't eat on... What am I not allowed to do because of that pasuk? So there's a whole list of isurim, right? There's the rules of how you're supposed to eat your karbonos that come off of that. You're not allowed to eat before you daven in the morning. Right? There's a whole different unrelated things. So that's what's called a lav shebekholos. A lav shebekholos means I have one pasuk and it means a whole bunch of different things. The rule is that lav shebekholos, you don't get malchus on. So the question he wants to know is, how come you gain malchus? Isn't this a lav shebekholos? Right? The pasuk of nishmartim lo lav shebekholos, yishom lecha, whatever, whichever the two are going to use, we already said it means that you're not allowed to forget Torah. It means that you're not allowed to curse yourself, right? It might mean other things as well. So how can you tell me get malchus is a lav shebekholos? So the Ritva has the following answer. Yes.
I'm a little lost here. I don't understand that phrase you keep using.
Lav shebekholos.
Yes.
A lav is a negative commandment.
Right.
And kholos means that there are several things involved. A klal, a group.
Okay. So we're talking
so again,
about,
if there is one verse in the Torah, and that one verse in the Torah prohibits many disparate things, if I do any of those disparate things, so it's not allowed, but I will not get lashes for it.
Because?
That's a rule.
Just stop.
It's a rule, yeah. We'll leave it at that. It's a rule.
Okay, so hold on. So I asked about the lashes, and it sounded like if you curse yourself, you do, and if
right.
you curse your friend, you do, and then it sounded like you
don't. No, so the question is, why do you? That's where we're up to. Why do you? Shouldn't it fall into this category of lav shebekholos? That's the question the Ritva has. But I mean, an atzma ksivi shomachav. Im toma im kein hech loke hadarshi nekama mili mehaikra. How can I get lashes for this? I learned lots of things out of this. Shelo yamo b'makom sakana. I learned that you're not supposed to stand in someplace where it's dangerous. So yochav lo yishter zvar maroim. I shouldn't eat things that are bad for me. I shouldn't drink things that are bad for me. V'ale lav shebekholos shein loken olav. So what's the answer? V'lav milsa, he says, it's not a question. Why? The halo mikri lasha b'cholos kevinch kohaz haros me'inyan echadeh lishmor es atzmo. He said, you know why? You know why I can't stand in a dangerous place? Because it's dangerous. You know why I can't eat stuff that's bad for me?
It's dangerous.
You know why I can't curse myself?
It's dangerous.
It's dangerous. Right? He said, they're all the same thing. According to the Ritva. Right, so it's not like some people say it means this. No, it's really, these are all examples. So according to the Ritva, what does Hishomo Lecho Ushmar Nafshecha mean? So he's understanding it like the Gemara in Brachas. Right, not like the Marsha. He's assuming that, yeah, there are different things, but they all fall under the same rubric. These are all examples of dangerous things you should not do. On the other hand, Tosfos on that same Gemara seems to not understand it at all. Shmor nafshecha ma'od, tema b'klola, divrei kol chayiv. Everyone says that if you curse yourself, you're going to get malchus. What if I wound myself?
What?
Wound yourself. Right? What?
On purpose.
Right? I'm not trying to fix anything. I decided I want to wound myself. Say I want to hurt myself.
In the process of cursing yourself, you like gash yourself.
No, or just, you know, one day I curse myself, next day I wound myself, you know, it's
got
whatever it is. So he said, Ika Pukta, says, Machokas in the Bava Kambam, roll in the snow. Nami, Tepuk, lay my high craw, O me, Shabu, my Oga Nasho Sechem. So he wants to know, why is it that by cursing we all agree, but when a person hurts themselves, there's a Machokas? Shouldn't that fall under this category? Ba'otema. Right? Also, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Doch Rashkuche has Hor Mekhal Aviv Minasi Vecherish. V'dayim Ligmon Mekhal Atzmo. Yeshomar the Irav Ashkhe Aviv Ovi Gamrinam Ba'atzmo. So Tosus has this question. He wants to know, why is it that hurting yourself doesn't fall under this category? And he does not give the answer of the Ritva. He assumes that cursing and physically hurting yourself are two separate things. He does not accept the Ritva's idea that there's one umbrella. Right? So therefore, he does not think that he that Ushmartim Olam Nashe Seichem, that applies at all. So according to, we have a Machokas here. According to the Marsha and Tosfos in Shavuos, this Ushmartim Olam Nashe Seichem does not mean that you have an obligation to protect your physical health. But the Ritva clearly does understand it that way. Whether or not you're going to understand the pasuk this way or not, this isn't the only potential pasuk out there which tells you have to protect yourself. The most obvious one, actually, is a few parshas down the pike, and that is what's called makeh. Right? If you look at number 8, ki sivne bayis chadosh, you build a new house, v'asisa makeh regagecha. You have to make a fence on the roof. Because if not, you'll be responsible. Right? So what is the reason that I have to put a fence on my roof? So people don't fall off. So what is the general idea behind this?
So they're not in danger.
Correct. There's that again, that this would at least be the same idea that you have a positive obligation. The Rambam puts these together. If you look at the Rambam, in Hilchas Rotzeach Ushmiras Nefesh.
What did they do on my roof?
You had hail damage, remember? And the guy said he'll fix it for free. And he's been in business now. He's better business bureau.
They didn't cost me that. But anybody else walks on my roof, I'd be responsible for him.
It seems that's machokas between you and God right now. God thinks you do, and you think you don't. So you guys are going to have to take it up among yourselves. Right? Because God seems to say that you do have a responsibility. But, you know, but who am I to decide who's right here? God or Irving? So there are... Yes?
So maybe you addressed this and I missed it, but is there some sort of irony that Ben Shmark Miller could have to deal with physical things also, and the punishment for that is lashes?
Is there irony in that?
I mean, like, I understand that lashes are for the sake of a spiritual thing, and there has to be a consequence or else things will...
You're saying it kind of sounds like the beatings will stop when morale improves?
If you hurt yourself, then
you're
not together.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it ironic, but
just
yeah.
Like we're not supposed to hurt ourselves.
It's kind of like you can't quit, you're fired. Right, you know?
Like there should be some sort of punishment maybe for it that doesn't involve something that could be over the thing itself.
No, no, no. Question, because you're harmed when you take lashes. Infections can say all kinds of things.
It's kind of like suicide by cop.
Something like that.
Some folks can be used to discuss prohibited smoking.
We're getting there. We're getting there. Don't worry. Make yourself comfortable. The Moshe gave me the heter a lot of years ago. Medical knowledge is different. The Rambam, when discussing the laws of makeh, the fence which God and the Rambam have to put on the roof, it says, "Echad agag ve'echad kol davar sheyesh bo sakana." This isn't just the roof, but anything where someone could hurt themselves. Roi sheyichshel bo adam v'roi sheyikashel bo adam v'yamus. It's possible that a person could trip and hurt and kill themselves. Kagon sheyesh lo be'er. If I had a obor, I have a well, I have a pit. Whether there's water in it, whether there's no water in it, I have to put up a 3-foot wall to make sure that no one falls in. I don't say it's their problem. Or I put a manhole cover on it. Anything where someone could get killed, mitzvahs asira hasiro. It's a positive commandment to get rid of it. And to be careful. What's the pasuk? So the Rambam, interestingly here, suddenly blends everything together. Right? We have something called makkah. Makkah doesn't only mean the roof. It also means the well. It also means if I'm where the pit. It also means if I'm doing blasting, you know, if I've got my, I've got a, what? Right, the steps, my killer python, whatever it is that I might have.
Don't think a selfie was a snake.
I'll make a note to self.
I did it this week and got bit.
Mm-hmm. Good shot, though. So.
A python killing.
I think we might be getting a little bit off the topic here. So. Yeah, well, we'll discuss Chayla Kamoni a different time, maybe. So the Rambam somehow. I guess if you look at the next halacha, it even gets a little stranger because he says, "Harbe dvar masu chacham b'mnei yesh b'em sakanos nefashos." There are a lot of things you can't sleep under a wall that could fall down, etc. But chola over aleihem. What if you violate it? Omar Harini misakin atzmi. Ha ha! I'm going to go fill in whatever it is. I do want to sleep with pythons. I do. Oh, okay. So, Uma achirim alai v'kach. None of your business what I want to do. Oh, any makbur, I don't care. Alkach makin also makas mardus. What's the punishment? Well, what type of lashes? What? Rabbinic lashes, we'll call them.
Oh, what are those?
What? It's what you get for violating a rabbinic. So again, it's a question what they are. Some people say instead of 39, it's 13. On the other side of the spectrum, some people say they beat you until you die.
Oh, boy.
Caning, right? This is another sheet, Indonesia. So the bottom line here, so again, the Minchas Chinuch discusses this Rambam, because the Minchas Chinuch raises the same issue as the Maharsha. Wait a second, how are you telling me that the Shomer Lecha means that? The Gemara doesn't say anything like that. Right? Where does the Rambam suddenly come up and say that all these things you have to protect yourself? Rambam sounds like the Ritva, that this pasuk requires you. And the bottom line, it says, V'tzarech Ian, got to look into it, obviously, he had a source. We just don't know what it is. Right. So again, what
lists all sorts of different things.
Which is why this is Tavkuf Mem Zayin, which is Makke, which is where the Minchas Chinuch is. Right. So this is exactly correct. That this is all that he sees on Makke. Bottom line is LaHalacha uLaMaisa. This doesn't really matter. Whether it's also because of this pasuk or it's also because of that pasuk, it's also. It's also because of a pasuk. Right? It might be this one, it might be that one, but at the end of the day, it's an interesting discussion. And you know, is it an assay? Is it los assay? You know, do you get malchus? Again, do you get malchus for not putting up a makkah? Well, is it putting up a fence, is that a positive or a negative commandment? The positive, and you don't get to get malchus for positive commandments. No, only for negative commandments, as opposed to yishamer lecha v'nishmartim. Right, so that would be a difference. But yeah, it's theoretical at this point.
But if this category falls under the reason why the malchus because
of this, you don't. No mitzvah falls under the category of another mitzvah. It's positive. It's positive. Malchus. It's own one of the 613. It earned the right to be one of them. No. It doesn't have to go hide under anyone's coattails.
No, I understand. That's what you said. Right? In order to protect yourself, you have to take certain steps.
Right, but the Torah decides how it wants to word it. If it words it in a affirmative way, it's a mitzvah saseh. If they do it in a way of saying that this is prohibited, that's different. So that is a difference. But you know, in terms of can I do it or can I not do it? There is no difference. So yeah, it's an interesting discussion which sick of it is, but it doesn't really matter. Now, yeah.
The thing here is that you're causing an adverse event, potentially an adverse event.
Yeah.
I never understood why they say it's also to give a parent, if you're lucky enough to have one, an injection of insulin. Because you're giving them insulin, you're doing them well, and they say it's also because of COVID.
No, sorry. So
it's
so you're right.
It's a chesaron and kibud av. It seems to me that's the ultimate so, apology to do for a parent.
So it's, what Dr. Baylor raises is, I'll explain it, is the following, is that beyond the obvious requirements, this week's parsha, you have to honor your parents, etc. The way you treat your parents is very different than other people. If in the event that I punch you in the nose and you get a bloody nose, etc., I am responsible for payment for damages caused, right? If it's, in certain cases, I even get lashes for it, in rare cases. However, if I would, God forbid, punch a parent in the nose, that's the death penalty. Okay? So because of that, we are very, very careful about these things. You know? You don't roughhouse with your parents. It's just a general.
So the injection, understands, for the good.
Right. So he wants to know as follows. So here I'm a doctor. My parents, they're elderly. They need a flu shot, right? You know, rather than have them schlep out, I can take one and go to their house. I can make it easy on them. You know, like whenever they're comfortable, etc. Maybe when they're asleep, they'd rather do it. Whatever it is, I can do a lot. So we generally do not recommend that you do it. Why? Because accidentally you could draw blood. In the event that everything went smoothly, you'd be right. It's wonderful. But in the event that something goes wrong, you accidentally were over something that brings with it capital punishment. So therefore we try to avoid that. That's the concern here. Now, it's an now there's, I think the Shmir Shams Kilchus has a fascinating follow-up question. So the general rule is, when it comes to honoring your parents, so your parents, there's honoring parents, there's fearing parents, right, there's two different categories. So honoring parents, but you have to help them out. You know, you got to drive them places. You got to pick up stuff for them. So your dad calls up and says, you know, I could really use a 6-pack of beer. Okay, what type of beer do you want? You know, Coors, of course, the banquet beer. Okay, that where I'm on it. Right, who pays for it?
The parent.
Right, the parent pays for it. That is correct. That's the halacha. That you do it, etc. But
what if it's not good for him?
What?
What if it's not good for him?
So yeah, you probably shouldn't do it then.
Even if he's paying, I shouldn't get it then.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Your dad says, "Get me a pack of smokes."
I'm not going to do that.
You should try to distract him, etc. But
what's in who pays? Why is that a problem?
What? What?
Why is that an issue?
I mean, why is it an issue? Because someone's got to pay.
So this means that you're not obligated to pay. You can pay, sure.
Right. Right.
You're not obligated.
So if you thought as much as buying a 6-pack or whatever, you pay for that. I mean, you say you're not obligated to pay for it.
Correct. So I like a bill, but let's say dad says, you know what, I want to go to Israel. Book me 2 tickets. Okay. Where's the credit card? Happy to do it for you. You know? So, but the question is as follows. So the Shmir Shams Kilchus has a very interesting question, which is, it has to do with this. So let's say I'm a doctor, right? And parent needs medical treatment. So because of this halachic issue, I can't do it, right? I can't give a shot, or right? So therefore, I have to go to... So he has a possibility that maybe in that case the kid has to pay. Why? Because really this should be able to be done for free. The whole reason the kid can't do it is because the kid has a potential isser. It's not the kid's problem, it's the father's problem, it's the kid's father. So maybe in that case the kid actually has to pay. I just can't wait for this. I'll be honest.
If your father needs operation,
yeah,
you're the only one who can do it.
You do it. That's it. You do it to save a person's life. You do it. If you're the only person to do it, you do it. Yes.
I want to go back to the injection. I know I can't do it because it's my parent, but I can bring someone else in, another doctor.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That's
right. Again, who pays for that? Do I pay?
That was the question. That was the question. That was exactly the point that we raised. That's why we're.
So really, I have to pay for that.
Theoretically, you know, again. I'm yet to see a Din Torah over it. You know, what was it saying? Hey, you see Din Torahs of removed memorial plaques, but you don't see Din Torahs about stuff like this. This isn't a biggie. So the question is, what I want to deal with now is the following, which was alluded to already. So you're not allowed to take on risks. That's what we're saying here. Whether it's because of makkah, whether it's because of hisham rocha, whatever the reason is, you can't take on risk. So everything in life carries with it risk. You walk across the street, there's a risk involved. You don't walk across the street, there's a risk involved. Right? So what is considered a risk and what's not considered a risk? Driving in a car. It's a risk, right? I heard on the news today that the number one cause of death of people 55 and under is car accidents. 2.2 million people die every year. So, what? I don't know. I'm working on it. What? Whatever it is. A lot of people die from it. Right? So one can make an argument so you can't go in a car. All right, thank you. So, I mean, the question that we're trying to figure out here is where do you draw the line? How much risk is too risk? Too much risk. And again, that's going to open up the door to many, many questions. Right? If you want to talk about smoking, right, that would go into it. Right? Marijuana, bungee jumping, Polander's not here skiing. Right? I mean, these are tackle football. You know, how much risk is too much risk? That's the question.
Skiing is a risk if you know what you're doing.
What?
Skiing is not a risk if you know what you're doing.
Yeah. There's dryness.
You mean no expert skier has ever slammed into a tree?
No, I'm not talking that. I'm talking about.
Remember the wild world of sports? The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat?
No.
That guy was in the Olympics. Can't argue with that. Heard the guy walked away from it. Right. You know, so that's what I wanted to spend a little time with. So the Gemara in Yevamos introduces a concept which was mentioned. The concept, it's a pasuk in Tehillim, Shomer Pesachim Hashem. When do we say it, girls? Shomer Pesachim Hashem, Dalisi V'Liyo Shia. When? Hallel, correct. We say it in Hallel. So Tani Rabbi Bibi Bar Kaved Rav Nachman Shloshes Noshim Meshamshes B'moch. So the question here is a question that doesn't seem to be related. It seems to be more of a Wednesday night topic, and that is the topic of birth control, right? What? What it? Pes. I thought it was like a diaphragm. Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry. Is that a medication? I don't know what that is.
It's a physical barrier.
Got it. Now I'm with him.
Okay.
I got you.
Okay.
I just didn't hear it.
They treat urinary incontinence.
Got it.
Okay. So in general, we don't allow this, but the Gemara says that there are three women that can: a katana, a girl under the age of bas mitzvah, mu'uberes, a woman that is pregnant, umeinika, a woman who is nursing. What are the reasons? Why do we allow this? Ketana shema tis'abe v'shema tomus. Perhaps she will become pregnant and die from it. Mu'ubera shema tase uvra sandal. Perhaps it will affect negatively her current child, her current fetus. Meinika shema tigmol b'navi amus. Maybe she'll become pregnant and then she'll have to wean and that would kill the child. Vezehi katana. What's a katana? Mibas yud al shana v'yom echad ad yud be shana v'yom echad. From the age of 11 through the age of 12. Pachos mikam v'yesa akach m'mashesos kadakar v'alechas. If she's older or younger, there's no problem. Divrei Rav Meir chama me'achazeh v'achazeh m'shameshos kadakar v'alechas. No, a katana is not allowed to use birth control. No form of contraception, at least not barrier method. Why? But I thought it was dangerous. Min hashamayim irachamu, that the Lord will watch over. Why? Mishum shenemar, shomer p'soyim Hashem. There's a certain amount of risk involved, admittedly, but not enough risk that we have to worry about it. So we have here a case where there is risk involved, but the risk is the level that we're not concerned about. So what's the risk? The risk of an 11-year-old girl becoming pregnant and her life being in danger through that pregnancy. What are the numbers on that? I have no idea whatsoever. So what's the reason for this? Why? What is Shomer Pesayim Hashem? What does this mean? So Moshe Feinstein, when he writes a tshuva regarding contraception, when it's allowed or not, discusses this. So Meir says, if there is a certain amount of risk, therefore we allow this to happen. To avoid pregnancy. So let's say this happens. A woman is told that pregnancy would be very dangerous for her, for either one of any reasons, for structural reasons, because of blood sugar issues, etc. And absolutely, you cannot become pregnant. If you became pregnant, it would be a matter of potentially life and death. Is that woman allowed to use birth control? So Moshe Feinstein says, absolutely. Right? If, for this long shot, Rav Meir would allow it here. But what about the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan did not allow it in that case. So would they allow birth control in this case? So he says, yeah. V'afra Rabbanan, yod v'zeh shemotaris. Even the Rabbanan who said you can't for the katana, for the minor, they would allow it in this case as well. The Baruch Lo Polig Rabbanan Ayahet de Sakana. It's not that Rabbanan say that if there's danger, they think still you're not allowed to do it. They argue because those cases are such long shot possibilities. You can rely on God. God will take care. Again, this is in the middle of something. So he said, what does that mean? So he says as follows. He says, he said, in general, we're very, very we care very much about danger. If someone's in a dangerous situation, we'll violate Shabbos for it. We're not going to say, well, man, hopefully it'll work out. But Eil Gimel Nashim do Dover Tivi, the Chola Nashim Sheba Olam, he said, this, what we're talking about, every pregnancy comes with a certain amount of danger. But I understand that 200 years ago, the mortality rate from birth was 25%, I read recently. That's a pretty high number. You thought that more than a quarter of the women died in childbirth?
I just thought it would be higher.
I thought it would be lower.
200 years ago?
Yeah.
I would be higher. But that's
good.
Yeah.
Well, so
you didn't know about infection, didn't know about. And today, what's the stat?
The stat is well below 1% in industrialized Western nations. Right. So, but for most of history, the number was 25%. Or higher, right? So wait a second. How can a woman ever become pregnant? That's pretty tough odds.
In fact, getting pregnant seems to be pretty easy.
In some cases, yes. In some cases, no.
I'm just saying.
Again, this isn't the medical ethics here. We're not discussing that now.
That was yesterday. I get it.
Yesterday was transplants. But okay. So but right. So the idea. So what Moshe says, his point is as follows. Things that are natural, you don't have to worry about. That's point number one. That for a woman to be, yes, there's risk involved, but this is darkel sholom. This is what people do. So it's fine. So you're allowed to do it. You know, this is the way of the world. If we got up and we said, you know, because of the danger involved, women can't have any children anymore. It's probably not a good way to build a membership.
Could not be applied to people going on a diet, for example, because that's their problem. People have to eat.
Well, again, a starvation diet, I would agree. People don't have to eat ice cream. Right? People don't have to eat cake. You know, people don't have to. I could argue. Maybe you could argue. Right? People don't have to eat the red bears, the chalashutis. You know?
You only
have
potatoes.
Zontik bulbis. Right, so that's what Moshe says. The first point that Moshe makes in this tshuva is that Shomer Pesayim Hashem applies when this is something that is natural. right? This is the way of the world. You can rely on God to step in and he'll take care of things, assuming this is a normal case, right? The normal risk involved in childbirth, even the risk involved in a young lady giving birth, is not that great that you have to worry about it. If there is a woman who we know that she has a condition that for her this is particularly dangerous, that's a different story. But normal risks are allowed. Rav Moshe's next tshuva, im yesh iser b'ishun segariot. So, of course, the dates on these tshuvas are important. This is 1981. This is the last of the Rav Moshe tshuvas on the matter. Rav Moshe passed away not that long afterwards. But he writes about this concept of Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Because in 1981, not so much anymore at this point, but in 1981, even in America, now other countries but not America, it was normal to smoke. Right? If not majority, a significant minority of the adult population smoked. So since this is something normal that everyone's doing, has been doing for centuries at this point, can you say Shomer Pesayim Hashem? I don't have an iser, because God will watch over. So at this point, Rav Moshe introduces another part of the cheshbon. He says as follows: Hinei liten klal l'hodav Hashem b'sayim Hashem, as it says, the shnei dvarim ikavem chshas sakanta v'lo zihiribu. Avshe vade b'stam chshas sakanta also lismoch al zeh. In general, I can't just jump off the bridge and say, Shomer Pesayim Hashem on my way down. That's halachically not appropriate among your other issues you might have. He said, so what about eating fatty foods? He said, what's the difference between smoking and eating fatty foods? Right? Eating trans fats and smoking. They didn't have trans fats in 81.
It might not be healthy.
So again, if it's not healthy, it should be a violation.
Right, but it's not as likely to kill you.
I don't know. Unlike you, I'm not a doctor. I can't kind of comment on this, but... But if a person goes and goes every morning to King Soopers and has a half dozen donuts for breakfast,
I think that's dangerous.
Right? I would not be quick to sell that guy life insurance.
Exactly.
We'll just put it down as that. Unless he had really good genes. Alvo kashes el b'yasim shall kame inchi v'leke b'zeh iser m'ra'ochem mitzad chshash sakana. So he said, if there's something out there, which it's a food, people eat it, certain people have a hard time with it. Other people's not. He thinks that's not a problem. The majority of the people, you think, does not, like, donuts don't kill the majority of the people. Yeah, maybe majority of the cops. But, in the general, average people, you have a donut from time to time. So he makes two points. One point he says is, in the event that this is something that is not just natural, it has to be, but something that's not necessarily dangerous, that the majority of the people do not have a problem with this. If this is something that is dangerous to the majority of the people, or the majority of the time, that also would be problematic. So Moshe says, in order to show some, one is it has to be not dangerous to the majority of the people, which he thought smoking wasn't at the time. I would say that medicine would disagree with that at this point. That would be A. And two, it has to be something that's natural. Now, also he points out that there's this other issue of what's the upside? What do you gain by smoking? Right? As opposed to, like, people always say, well, what about drinking alcohol? So alcohol, yeah, if you drink too much alcohol, that's very bad for you. But if you drink a little bit of alcohol, that has, I think, medical benefits. Right? Good for the heart, keeps you well-preserved, etc. I know some cases like that, right? So therefore, he says, that's one thing. But if there's no upside, then for sure not.
Bacon and eggs was very common, and it's all natural. But we learned that it will kill you.
Right, that's why we don't eat bacon and eggs anymore.
Right, but you get my drift here. I'm saying, in America, that's...
Right, so again, if there are people out there that you know, just drink cups of cholesterol and they will not be affected by it.
Yeah, but I'm going back to the majority of the people who are doing this.
It depends.
Like smoking in 1981.
So again, if we find out that Twinkies, in fact, are not healthy for you anymore, right?
They last a good 50 years.
In case of nuclear holocaust, that'll be the only food we have left.
There you go.
Right, so I would say that, yeah, then it would be problematic under this.
Okay.
Then you shouldn't eat it. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach deals with the same issue with an interesting case, which we had mentioned. Not now, I think we mentioned over. Did we do this over Shavuos? The issue is whether or not a person has to vaccinate. So, what is potential danger? So the question that he's actually dealing with is the guy who does the vaccination only comes on Shabbos. Are you allowed to get vaccinated on Shabbos? Well, it's a good thing you're not standing here, huh?
That is.
Yeah. So he says, he said, I have my doubts, but he says the question is, well, how much of a risk is it not to get vaccinated? So he thinks that not getting vaccinated, if the only way you can do it is this way, then you don't do it because the risk of not getting vaccinated also is not the type of risk that you have to necessarily worry about.
Smallpox is running rampant.
Correct. If smallpox is running rampant, that's one thing. But nowadays, that's his idea. So basically, when it comes to Shomer Pesayim Hashem, there's two rules. One, is this a natural thing to do? Do people do this normally? And two, is the risk of potential downside greater than 50%? Right, so that's what you have to do. So therefore, for example, the Chokas Yaakov at the end, he deals with this. And then he says, Hagei ba'atzmecha, think to yourself, Echiyara al-das l'asor al-pi din Torah, gonsor ba'otio o ba'aviron? Does anyone say you can't drive a car, you can't get on an airplane? There's a lot of car accidents. There's a lot of plane accidents. They're tragedies. People do this all the time. It's a natural way of getting around. Not more than 50% of the people are going to be injured through it. So therefore, you apply those rules. That's not considered to be too risky. So based on this, you can go and apply these rules to everything, whether it's smoking, whether it's marijuana, whether it's drinking, whether it's trans fats, whether it's being a transplant donor, right? Whatever the risk out there that you want to talk about. If you want to talk about bungee jumping, you want to talk about, you know, base jumping, whatever it is out there. So again, you got to see, is this something that's normal? Some cases, yes, some cases, no. What is the level of risk? And also, beyond that, is what's the upside, what's the downside? But Shlomo Zalman, I should have mentioned, also puts in the point that a way to tell is, are people scared of it?
People are scared of skydiving.
People are scared, right? So that makes it dangerous, as opposed to people are not scared of getting in a car. So he said, that's definitely part of it. What? What?
Bungee jumping.
Right. Well, obviously, that's why they do it.
Exactly.
Right. So again, these are the basic rules, these rules may or may not appear in this week's parsha, depending on which of the Rishonim you hold like. And based on these rules, you can use this to answer a wide variety of questions. All right.